Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 10th day of October, 2023. Obviously, I remind our listeners to continue to pray for the citizens of Israel who are under attack and are at war with the Palestinians once again, and the Palestinians are once again involving themselves in barbaric, brutal, satanic terrorist attacks on men, women, and children in Israel. And obviously, no matter what your eschatology is, no matter what or how you view the nation of Israel in the realm of biblical prophecy, whether or not you are a Zionist, obviously the nation of Israel is our closest ally in the Middle East, and this is something that should concern all of us. And I remind you to keep praying for those in the nation of Israel. And today we have a returning guest who it's been ages since he's been on the program, and I'm so glad that he has returned today. His name is Dr. Stephen Tsoukalos. He is the author of several books and has taught courses in world religions, theology, biblical studies, cults, and new religious movements. Today we're going to address a book of his that has been out of print for a while and has recently come back into print, a very important book, The Nation of Islam, Understanding the Black Muslims. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back after a long absence to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Stephen Tsoukalos.
Thanks for having me on, Chris. Yeah, it's been a while, but I'm glad to be back on, and thanks for having me.
Well, tell us about the origins of the Nation of Islam. Who were its founding fathers, if you will, and how it gained such prominence here in the United States?
Well, as I mentioned in the book, the theology of the Nation of Islam did not grow in a vacuum. There are historical predecessors, historical movements, beginning with about the mid 19th century, that led into the formation of a movement in the early 20th century known as Black Nationalism, the ideologies of which led to the formation of the Nation of Islam. One of what I'm going to mention does not necessarily have institutional ties, but provided the political and sociological soil in which the Nation of Islam grew. There was a couple of authors named David Walker and Henry Highland Garnett, a work of theirs appeared in 1848 entitled Walker's Appeal and Garnett's Address to the Slaves of the United States. And therein, the quote unquote misguided altruism of Uncle Tom's Cabin and the figure there. Again, Uncle Tom was a symbol of misguided altruism, entirely distorted into a selfless, stoical, fatalistic martyr that taught Black people to turn the other cheek. Just prior to that, Garnett and Walker published this address to the slaves of the United States, in which he scathed white Christians, and he wrote, "Stand still and see the salvation of God and the miracle he will work for our deliverance from the wretchedness of the Christians." And then he, in this work, addresses Americans. "Americans, unless you speedily alter your course, you and your country are gone. I call God, I call angels, I call men to witness that your destruction is at hand and will be speedily consummated unless you repent." So the Uncle Tom of Mrs. Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin is now going to be replaced in general, not by all, by the expectation of a personal savior to appear, a deliverer in the future, a Mahdi, if you will. But this also is not the only scenario. There is an individual savior that is going to come, but the Black people as a whole are also seen as collectively a messiah or savior. And there's much more we can talk about there, Chris, depending on where you want to go from here.
Well, how did the writings of these men wind up inspiring the actual founder of the Nation of Islam?
Okay, well, there are other figures. There were, again, Henry, there's Garnett and Walker, but also Marcus Garvey. Mm-hmm. In the early part of the 20th century. He's a World War I and post-World War I Black nationalist movement leader. He was mainly political, and he founded the Universal Negro Improvement Association. This is just a decade or so before the founding of the Nation of Islam. So we have Garveyism coming. And Garvey, around 1915, 1920, just to give your listeners an idea of when the Nation of Islam was founded, about 1930. So 1920, 1915, in that area, Garvey founded the Universal Negro Improvement Association. He promoted race pride and independence in education and commerce. He called for a separation of Blacks and whites. He called the white race the oppressor race. And millions of oppressed Blacks at that time, having gone from the South into the supposed promising area, or I should say, sociological scenario in existence of the North, they found much hope in the Garvey movement. Because they were being oppressed. They thought that the North would be a place where they could go and flourish. But they found that the same kind of racist hate confronted them. So they found hope in Garvey. Now, couple Garvey with a person named Timothy Drew. He was known then as Noble Drew Ali, the Prophet. He arose the same time as Garvey. And tradition says that at 16 years old, he came into contact with Islam in Egypt. Now, this is regular Islam, supposedly, not Nation of Islam.
Right.
He had a dream in which he was called to restore the, quote, unquote, lost, found nation. The Blacks were lost. Now they'll be found. And they had been kidnapped and brought to slavery in America. He then founded the Moorish Science Temple. And they had temples in numerous cities. They were mainly religious and considered themselves Muslim. They changed their names upon conversion, and Morocco was to be their nation of deportation. They were scheduled or hoped to go back to Morocco. Now, several Black nationalist leaders before Garvey and Noble Drew Ali existed, Booker T. Washington, among others. But all this provided the cultural, sociological soil for the appearance of God or Allah in the flesh, Wallace Fard Muhammad.
And isn't that very thing, according to Orthodox Islam, I mean, Quranically faithful Islam, just as much of a blasphemy, a heresy, a sin, as that which is claimed by the Muslims against Christians, that they have connected Allah with a human?
Exactly right.
And shirk.
This is shirk, right? Took the word right out of my mouth. It's shirk. It's blasphemy to think that Allah would ever come into human existence, or even to this earth personally, is blasphemy. But that is one of the tenets of Islam. And during one of the meetings that Wallace Fard Muhammad was having in Detroit around 1930, again, he appeared as a stranger from the East in 1930 in Detroit. And at one of his meetings, he would have meetings that started in homes, small attendance, and then later that grew to be more people attending these meetings. But he was, according to Elijah Muhammad, he was giving a speech, and Elijah Muhammad would have to stand outside and look in the windows because this man was so popular. But he approached him after the speech. And he asked, "Who are you?" And Fard Muhammad claimed, "I am God, but don't tell anybody right now."
Wow. And who was, or what name did Elijah Muhammad go by at that point? This is before he was actually Elijah Muhammad, wasn't it?
Yeah, Elijah Poole, P-O-O-L-E. Elijah Poole was the son of a Baptist minister.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting stuff.
And so take us from there, how this meeting eventually led to Elijah Poole becoming Elijah Muhammad and founding the Nation of Islam.
Well, Elijah Poole was given the name Elijah Muhammad before the disappearance of Wallace Fard. That's part of another story perhaps we'll get to. He disappeared. Very mystically, very mysteriously, I should say, disappeared from Detroit and gave Elijah Poole the name Elijah Muhammad, after which, on his disappearance, Elijah Muhammad went on to form the Nation of Islam into a more developed kind of movement where you have a sacred story or myth that defines who the Black people originally were, and especially a story about how the white people were created, how the white people are ontologically inferior to the Black people, a mysterious mothership that in which Elijah Muhammad and Fard Muhammad now reside. We can get into that a little bit later too. But then Elijah Muhammad began to create temples, the first one being in the Chicago area, or maybe the Detroit area. Memory escapes me here. And then branching out from there with several temples. And he was even talking about the destruction of the white race, which brought the attention of the FBI upon him. And even as some researchers have stated, the FBI in the 1940s went into one of the Elijah Muhammad's temples and found drawings of the mother ship that was going to destroy the white race. A lot of theology here, and maybe we can cover some of that.
Yes, some of our listeners may even remember when the Million Man March occurred in Washington, D.C., Louis Farrakhan, the current head of the Nation of Islam, made mention of this mothership that made national, if not global, news and brought to the knowledge of the populace that this was another strange religion that involved extraterrestrial spacecraft, is something that a number of cults and false religions have in common. But so tell us about the actual early days of Elijah Muhammad's specific launching of the Nation of Islam, and what things may have been in existence in this group that may not be currently there, but were a part of its genesis, its formation. You had just mentioned something, but didn't go into detail. But I remember hearing from you years ago when I interviewed you before that this group, the Nation of Islam, actually believes that the white race was created in a laboratory. So the coronavirus wasn't the only thing created in a laboratory that is bringing about ill upon the human race. Apparently, we as white people were also created. If you could give us some more insight on that very bizarre theory.
Well, the black man, known collectively as the black man, is the original race. And within this original race, collectively, the black man with a capital M, capital B, within this collective race, which is the original man, whites did not exist about 66 trillion years ago. The first God came into being in darkness, in blackness. And it took about 6 million years for this black God to evolve into a black man. And again, about 76 trillion years ago. And this was the first original black God. All of the black gods are called Allah throughout various eras in history. Allah, the first black man, did not live everlastingly. He came into existence and he died. And there are supposedly about 24 successive Allahs, each one coming into existence in an era of history. They do not live forever. So there was at one time an evil scientist known at one time, about 6,000 years ago, Chris, an evil scientist known as Yaqub, Y-A-K, U-B as in boy, Yaqub. And he was a mischievous person. And as a result, one time he was playing with two pieces of steel, and he noticed that one of the pieces of steel attracted the other. And as a result, he was going to find out why one piece of steel attracted in a series of birth experiments about 6,600 years ago, so 6,600 years ago. The following took place with Yaqub directing birthing from mothers and fathers. So what was he going to do? He's going to graft the white race from the original black race. How did he do this? Now I'm going to be reading from something called The Supreme Wisdom Lessons by Master Fard Muhammad to his servant, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, for the lost found nation of Islam in North America, originated by our savior, Master Fard Muhammad. And in here we read of the myth of Yaqub. And again, this is a myth that gives reason for what is going on in the United States to blacks under oppression by white people.
Now, when they use the word myth, they are not using that term to describe something that is a fictional legend or fairy tale. Am I correct? They believe that this is actually an authentic story, but nonetheless called a myth.
Yes, you are correct, and thank you for that. It is a sacred story. It is an accounting of why the blacks are in this situation in oppression by the whites. So I read, Yaqub's first rule was to see that all his followers were healthy, strong, and good breeders. If not, he sent them back, and that they should marry at the age of 16. Next, Yaqub gave his people the law on birth control to be enforced while manufacturing the devil. That's the white race. That was to destroy the alike and save the unlike, which means kill the black babies, save the brown babies. This, now you're going from black to brown to white, in other words. So kill the black babies when they're born, save the brown babies. This law was given to the doctors, the ministers, the nursers, and cremator. The doctor's law was to examine all that marry. And this was his law. Anyone desiring to marry must first be qualified by the doctor. And in turn, he qualified or disqualified them to the minister. The minister would marry only the ones that were unlike. The nurse's law was to kill black babies at birth by sticking a needle in their brain, in the brain of the babies, or feed it to some wild beast and tell the mother that her baby was an angel baby and that it was not only taken to heaven, but someday when the mother dies, her baby would have secured her a home in heaven. But save all the brown ones and tell their mother that she was lucky that her baby was a holy baby and she would take good care of her baby, educate it, and that someday it would be a great man. All nurses, doctors, and ministers, Yaqub put them under a death penalty who failed to carry out the law as it was given to them. Also the cremator who would burn the black babies when the nurse brought it to him. Also death for them if they revealed the secret. He also had other rules and laws which are not mentioned in this lesson. Now, just to finish up here, the devil is made from the original people. That's the white race, is made from the original people by grafting. In the black man, there exists two germs, one a black germ and one a brown germ. Yaqub, with this law on birth control, separated the brown germ from the black man and grafted it into a white by destroying the black germ. After following this process for 600 years, the germ became white and weak and was no more original. Also, by thinning the original blood, it became weak and it is no more the same. This is the way Yaqub made the devil. 6,600 years ago, this accounts for how the white attracts the black. Remember the two pieces of magnets, magnetic, the steel, and it accounts for the oppression of this devil white race of the black race.
Which is why I'm assuming Malcolm X constantly referred to white people as blue-eyed devils.
That is correct. That is correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how did they, how did and do the Nation of Islam view blacks of mixed race? Malcolm X, for instance, was a very light-skinned black man. I think he had green eyes or something. How did they view him? Does that matter at all?
Well, this is the thing that I've come to, as I systematically, as best I can, try to examine the theology of the Nation of Islam. And believe me, the Elijah Muhammad and those under him as quote unquote theologians are by no means systematicians. There's a lot of conflicting stuff going on here. But as best I can understand, is even Fard, Wallace Fard Muhammad, Allah in the flesh, had these two germs in him, the brown and perhaps the white and the black. And in the one person of Fard Muhammad, he conquered the brown germ, the white germ. And so each black man, based on the blessing and the example of Fard Muhammad, who conquered the other germ, every black man can do the same. And therefore can lift himself out of the prison of adultery, leaving his wife, drugs, illicit sex, etc. Because Fard Muhammad has done this for them.
And we have to go to our first break. If anybody would like to submit a question to Stephen Sakalis on the Nation of Islam, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We will be right back with Stephen Sakalis and more of our discussion on the Nation of Islam right after these messages from our sponsors.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the Secure Comm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, at First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. Anyone in our audience who purchases jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com, whether jewelry they already have in stock or customized pieces of jewelry that they want to have created, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. In fact, my good friend Jerry Johnson, Christian documentarian, who you've heard me interview on this program frequently. In fact, he's going to be on the program tomorrow. Again, Jerry Johnson purchased a ring for his wife, Tracy, for her birthday. And I'm going to be getting 100% of the profits, since he mentioned Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, to the folks at RoyalDiadem.com. So please, if you have any intention on buying yourself a piece of jewelry or jewelry for someone you love, whether something they have in stock or something that you want customized and created, please go to RoyalDiadem.com soon, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on that wonderful offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale, as long as our listener making the purchase mentions Iron Chris Arnzen, or even brilliant people, geniuses in the Mormon cult. And they have their own very strange and unbelievable history and story. But is this something that's commonly known to the average person who joins the Nation of Islam, or is that something that they hear about years later, or something that's buried beneath many other things that are more relevant in their day-to-day lives? What's the deal with that?
My hunch is that many, if not all, of the people, the adherents of the Nation of Islam, will know about this sacred story of Yaakov creating the black race. I think that is on the forward agenda, a forward item on the agenda of the teachers of the Nation of Islam, because it, again, explains the 400 years of oppression that black people have gone through, and therefore also not only gives them explanation, but begs the question of what is the hope that we have. We can talk about that later with the mothership. But I remember Muhammad Ali years ago stating that the black man needs to come to a knowledge of self. Now, he was not many years in the Nation of Islam at that time, but the world heavyweight boxing champion did use a phrase that is found in Nation of Islam literature, knowledge of self. What does that mean? It's knowledge of the original black race. Mm. And that has with it a knowledge of the rise of the white race, right?
Yes, and I find it interesting, ironic, that Cassius Clay renounced his so-called slave name and was given the name by Elijah Muhammad, Muhammad Ali. And that name, Cassius Clay, that he renounced was the name of a well-known 19th century abolitionist in Kentucky. So it is, I don't know if Muhammad Ali knew that. I mean, I'd be surprised if his parents never told him that. And I'm assuming that's why they named him that, because they were from Kentucky. That's a very strange thing indeed, to call that his white slave name when the name of the man, Cassius Clay, for whom I assume he was named, was an abolitionist. But from its infancy, how quickly did the Nation of Islam grow numerically? And, you know, how long did they struggle numerically? And when did it really start to radically grow until the point that they had mosques all over the United States?
This is the problem of the number of adherents is a problem. No one is able to determine how much the Nation of Islam was regarding adherent numbers, and so it's a pay your nickel and take your choice kind of thing. But we know it started with Fard Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, who gathered up some of the disciples, if not all of the disciples, if not many, of Fard Muhammad, and began arranging meetings. And soon after that, they were called temples. But the number of adherents, Chris, is largely a mystery to researchers. Some go as low as 6,000, 10,000, and as high as 200,000. I read a source today that perhaps the number is 50,000, but it is most likely quite numerically less.
And is it confined to the United States, or are there temples in other parts of the world?
Not sure about that. That's a great question. But I would venture to say that since one of the requirements from the Nation of Islam adherents is to go on the Hajj, which is the visit to Mecca, and I would imagine that some kind of evangelism has to take place, and that they do have followers in other parts of the world. But that's just a guess on my part.
Well, that also brings us back to the point where you're supposed to go on the Hajj to Mecca, and yet the vast majority of people there making their pilgrimage would view the Nation of Islam as a false cult. And I'm assuming that if anyone actually lived in a nation under Sharia law who was an advocate of the Nation of Islam, they would be executed just like any Christian who believes in the Trinity or any Jew, because of the fact that the Nation of Islam is guilty, as we said earlier, of shirk. They make partners with God and man, which is the way Orthodox Islam describes, for instance, the deity and humanity of Christ, the fact that the second person of the Holy Trinity is both God and man. They Orthodox, Quranically faithful Muslims view that as the height of blasphemy, and it is the worst sin, and it is a sin worthy of execution. So are there Muslims, Orthodox Muslims, who ever call out adherence to the Nation of Islam, that they are a masquerade connecting themselves with Muslims? It's interesting that I have seen, you know, films of Malcolm X being welcomed into Islamic nations, and even Muhammad Ali, after he had embraced the Nation of Islam, looking upon them as heroes, and yet they were really betraying the essence of Islam.
Yeah, there's more to reality, interreligious reality, than simply the doctrinal. There's also sociological elements, which of course spill over into theology, but political elements that maybe would betray someone's real identity as to whether or not that person's a compromiser. For example, if a political figure who's a known Muslim meets Muhammad Ali or Malcolm X, given their status sociologically and their fame, they would welcome. They would welcome. So there's other reasons behind this. And interestingly, Chris, moving backward to your point about the Hajj was one of the straws that broke the camel's back for Malcolm X.
Yes, yes.
There were certain things that happened previously.
He saw white. Like, he saw white Muslims paying their tribute at at the pilgrimage.
Yeah, white devils who were Muslims and whom he considered are these brothers? They're worshiping the same God as I. But there were also some circumstances and events previously to his doing the Hajj, which Elijah Muhammad gave him the privilege of doing instead of himself. One of them being Elijah Muhammad's infidelity, as the charge goes,
right,
and giving birth to several children through young women. But that led the Hajj broke the camel's back, and eventually Malcolm X was to leave the Nation of Islam.
Yes, and friendship between him and Muhammad Ali was destroyed.
Yeah, right. And again, moving back to another point or question you had, there are Muslim apologists that have written tracts against the Nation of Islam, criticizing especially their doctrine of a man being Allah in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. And did Malcolm X actually, when he was forced out of the Nation of Islam, did he actually become an Orthodox, Quranically faithful Muslim, or was he just a member of another sect, false Muslim sect?
He became a loyal to doctrine Muslim,
okay,
having renounced completely certain elements of the Nation of Islam.
Did Muhammad Ali also do that? Because I know that he eventually left the Nation of Islam.
He sure did. He sure did, and became a more mainline stream Muslim, as did Malcolm.
Now, obviously, you and I are Christians. We're not trying to make the claim that this is some kind of wonderful thing, because the religion of Islam is a damning and false religion as well. It's just that the Nation of Islam masquerades as something that it is not, trying to use phraseology and things and trying to claim the Quran as its holy book in many ways is absolutely ridiculous. Even more absurd than Jehovah's Witnesses claiming to be Christians or Mormons.
And interesting too, that you should bring up Jehovah's Witnesses, because the Nation of Islam use many of the same verses that Jehovah's Witnesses do to deny the deity of Christ.
Hmm. So before we go to a break, let me ask a listener question. And the listener, I don't know why, is remaining anonymous, but the anonymous listener asks, do you think that the evidence clearly points to Louis Farrakhan as leading the assassination of Malcolm X?
Well, sticky topic.
I've seen a film of Louis Farrakhan. It was like taken by somebody secretly with a cell phone or something. This was years ago, at least a decade ago, where he was seemingly confessing to this and saying that, you know, the nation will deal with Malcolm as we saw fit, or the mm-hmm. nation dealt with Malcolm as we saw fit, and so on. I'm not sure where you go with that, and if you know of any other evidence about that.
I'm not going to come down hard on it, because Nation of Islam members were arrested for this. Mm-hmm. But now comes the debate of how much did politics, how much did hate play into the arrest and conviction of the NOI members? In my head, I am not going to come down, but I do find it interesting that they were arrested. And many people would say the majority of evidence, the majority of people researching this would conclude that Nation of Islam is responsible for Malcolm's murder. But again, I'm not coming down hard on that.
And by the way, anonymous, if you email me your full name, which obviously will not be disclosed on the air, and your mailing address, you have just won a copy of The Nation of Islam, Understanding the Black Muslims by Stephen Sokolis. So make sure you do that. And CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, will ship that book out to you. Now, in your very quickly before we go to the break, in your subtitle, Understanding the Black Muslims, was that ever a title that they claimed for themselves in the Nation of Islam, or was that something that outsiders labeled them with?
They claim it in places.
Okay.
And so I put it in quotes because they claim it in certain publications, statements, speeches. So I put it there as a subtitle in the book, but I wanted to put it in quotes so that it would not appear as something I called them.
Right. Okay, well, we're going to our midway break right now. Send in your questions to Stephen Sokolis, to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more Jesus Christ.
We're in Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com has been experiencing a bit of financial difficulty lately. They have seen a slump in book sales. And I'm urging you, if you either have never purchased books before from solid-ground-books.com, or if you have purchased and you can afford to buy more books from solid-ground-books.com, please do so. And please mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone else for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they publish nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back as far long ago as the 16th century Protestant Reformation, and continuing all the way up to our current modern day, including such present-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com today. Purchase generously, purchase frequently, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Stephen Sokolos and our discussion of his fascinating book, The Nation of Islam, Understanding the Black Muslims, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer to mail a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a medical firm or a law firm, or perhaps it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. You're only that money with us so that we can continue to exist. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid, Christ-honoring church, no matter where you live in the world, I have extensive lists spanning the globe, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even just within a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too. I might be able to help you in the same way if you are without a church home that's biblically faithful. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Stephen Sokolos on the Nation of Islam, Understanding the Black Muslims. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. We have Carlos in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, who asks, "I saw the movie several times by Spike Lee called Malcolm X. I was wondering if your guest saw it and if he thought it was faithful to the historical account of the Nation of Islam and Malcolm X's life.
Well, there are portions of the movie, large portion of the movie is very accurate. But as mentioned before, the murder of Malcolm X is something that is somewhat of a gray area, unfortunately. But to answer the listener's question more directly, by and large, yes, it was very informative and accurately to the point about the life of Malcolm X.
Yeah, I saw the movie also several times at least. I love the movie, and I'm as conservative and right-leaning in my politics and other ways as one can possibly be while remaining faithful to the scriptures. And I have to admit that I think Spike Lee did a tremendous job on this movie. And in fact, he was really putting his own life at risk because he was not candy coating the ugly side of the Nation of Islam. And so, I mean, he exposed all of the warts and blemishes that I knew of. So I thought he was to be commended for the accuracy that he revealed on film. One thing that he did not include, which is a question of my own that I have for you, this may shock some of our listeners who don't have more of an awareness of the Nation of Islam, but isn't it amazing and isn't it true that Elijah Muhammad actually invited George Lincoln Rockwell, the founder of the American Nazi Party, to speak at least one of his major gatherings, I believe in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, and that's because in the mind of the collective mind of the Nation of Islam, they are separatists.
Right.
And this plays right into ideologies such as Rockwell that you just mentioned. And so therefore they would be allies with the sense of separatism.
Yes.
And they had differences, major differences with Martin Luther King as well over this issue, because yes. King favored, what's the opposite word of segregation?
Oh, integration.
Integration.
And also peaceful, nonviolent resistance.
That's right. Right. So sure. They were in the same proverbial bed, so to speak.
Yeah, and they warmly welcomed him from the film clips that I've seen on YouTube.
Yeah, truly.
Mind-blowing.
Off with you. Yeah, go away. You know, we're with you on the separatists.
Yep. And by the way, Carlos, I think I forgot to tell Carlos in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, you have also won a free copy of The Nation of Islam, Understanding the Black Muslims. Give us your full mailing address in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, so that cvbbs.com can ship that out to you. That's cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. So were the major tenets of racial hatred pretty much already outlined in the blueprint of the Nation of Islam from their earliest days, or were their developments, plural, of doctrines and teachings that perhaps are still rising up to this day? I don't know about how fully complete their canon of teaching was in the early days.
Yes, mostly, for the large part, complete. When Elijah Muhammad was then Elijah Poole, he, along with thousands of other blacks, moved from the racist South to what was deemed a utopian North, where you had industrialization occurring. But then Elijah Muhammad recalls that when he was Elijah Poole, something, and I paraphrase, I went up north thinking that I would find a utopia of sorts, only to find that black men were still being dragged through the streets by the neck on the noose, being pulled by cars and murdered and hung in other ways. So this has not changed. I continue paraphrase. It has really not changed. And so I see that as the background for what was to develop later on in the sacred myth of the Nation of Islam, that it was formed to give a reason for what Elijah Van Poole experienced in the utopian so-called North. And as far as the doctrines of whites as devils, yes, that was from the early days. The blacks as the original superior race. Yes, that's from the early days. Bible as a poison book. Quran as pure and holy from the early days. I would say that the Jesus as well, only a prophet, not the son of God. Christianity is a white man's religion. That's from the early days. Salvation and end times from the early days. Obviously, Fard Muhammad from the early days. I think what has developed a little more from the early days, if not largely, is the charge of anti-Semitism on the parts of critics of the Nation of Islam, and the rising of a portion of what Muslims want. And when I say what Muslims want, at the back of many publications from the Nation of Islam, you'll see a listing of what the Muslims want in those words. And one of them is a separate territory of their own to exist in the southern part of the United States. And if not, a large territory outside the United States for all the blacks to exist. That's a development throughout the years that we didn't see earlier in the Nation of Islam.
Yeah, did not the Ku Klux Klan sell the Nation of Islam property for that very reason?
I was unaware of that.
That's all that I heard. I can get you more details if there are any later, but I have heard that, that either the sale was accomplished or was attempted. But going back to the harmony that this black supremacist group had with white supremacists, because of their shared passion for segregation, this was something that was occurring. Doesn't surprise you.
No, it doesn't.
Now, what do you make? Isn't it tragic that there are black ministers in the inner cities in various parts of our country who seem to care more about their skin color and the struggle for life as they want it to be enjoyed far and above a level of importance than the gospel of Jesus Christ, where they are inviting and have invited people like Louis Farrakhan into their pulpits. Does this blow your mind as much as it blows my mind? And I view that as such a tragic thing.
Well, I was saying to my wife a couple of weeks ago, when I hear of such and such of happening in the non-Christian and pseudo-Christian world, this happened. This person arose and claimed to be a savior. This group had multiple suicides, etc. I'm not surprised anymore, Chris. When I started in this field back in the 1980s, it was, wow, this really happening. I was very interested in it. But since these things occur over and over and over again, I'm not surprised anymore. And so that is to say that you can have Reverend in front of your name and several strings of letters after your name. You can be the so-called pastor of a church or a congregation and still deny the Trinity, deny the resurrection of Christ,
yes,
deny that he is God and man, and yet still be called a pastor. So it doesn't surprise me that black ministers would have Nation of Islam people in their pulpits, just as I'm not surprised when I see so-called white ministers do the same thing.
Not with Nation of Islam representatives,
no,
though. By the way,
yeah, the same meaning,
right,
the inviting people that aren't orthodox,
right,
in their beliefs.
Can you be a white person? Not that I would ever want to be one of these white people, but can a white person join the Nation of Islam? I know that the Black Panthers, although it's not a religion, was not a religion, they allowed white people to become members of the Black Panthers. What's the deal with the Nation of Islam? I'm assuming they don't and never have, but maybe you'll surprise me.
Well, now we have to remember that the whites are collectively the devil,
right,
with a capital D.
There are self-loathing people, though. There are self-loathing white people and self-loathing black people and so on. But to your knowledge, they never were welcomed in at all.
No, they're not welcome. To my knowledge, no, they're not welcome.
Now, let's go back to the mothership that you alluded to earlier, and you said not only was the man claiming to be God in the flesh, what was it, Farshid Wallace?
Fard Muhammad,
I'm
Wallace,
sorry.
Yeah, Wallace D. Fard later became Wallace Fard Muhammad.
Right. Okay, and yeah, he is in this mothership, and now that he has passed, Elijah Muhammad is allegedly in this mothership. Tell us about that.
That's right. So there is a notion of Armageddon in the Nation of Islam, an end times scenario where the mother plane or the mothership, which the Nation of Islam gathers from Ezekiel's vision of the wheel within the wheel. So there's a wheel within the wheel in Ezekiel's vision.
Right.
Now, Nation of Islam takes that, and the wheel that's within the wheel, the smaller wheel, are 1,500 bomber planes. And the wheel itself, the large part of the wheel, is known as the mothership. So the mothership contains the, in quotes, little wheel, which is the 1,500 bomber planes. Now, at the end time, and this is a half mile by half mile in diameter spaceship, which hovers above the Earth at about 20 miles above the Earth. And some of these bomber planes have been seen, is the claim, by UFO spotters, right? So, but the mothership can avoid radar detection by the devils because it is so far more capable and technologically brilliant that surpasses any kind of technology we might have. So it can move at lightning speed from one place to another. And just when you think you have a bead on something, it's gone. So this is a half mile by half mile in size, the mother plane, carrying these 1,500 bomber planes. And the wheel is capable, writes Muhammad, Elijah, the wheel is capable of sitting above the Earth's atmosphere for a whole year before coming down into the atmosphere to take on more oxygen and hydrogen for the people that are on the wheel. And at the end times, to be determined by Fard Muhammad, who was on the mothership with Elijah Muhammad, at the right time, it's the 1,500 bomber planes will be released on America. Three are reserved for England. They will drop bombs that once they drill, these bombs drill into the Earth's crust 1 mile, they will explode. And again, three are reserved for England, but the rest for the United States. There will be Muslim, black Muslim scientists who stand at the at corners of streets directing the faithful to shelters. And then this is going to destroy the whites and will once again bring into existence the pristine creation that was earlier developed by the first black god and subsequent black gods after each other. And so this is a remaking, a recreation, but there will not be a hereafter in the sense of the truth of Christianity, where we will live in the presence everlastingly of the triune God, but rather the hereafter is not some everlasting existence for the NOI. We will live the resurrected, and I'll define that in a moment. Those who live in the hereafter, let me say, will die once again, but there will be pristine conditions. And they say that they believe in the resurrection of the dead, but they redefine it. The resurrection of the dead is a resurrection of dead thinking and coming to knowledge of self, which means coming to knowledge of who the black man, black people really are.
So I'm assuming they believe that only black people, and especially those that are faithful to the Nation of Islam, will have a pleasant and joyful afterlife.
Included in the original man, and again, the afterlife is you will live and you will die. And when you die, that's it, you're dead, even in the hereafter.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And wow. Even Jesus is now dead.
Wow, so, you would wonder what the attraction would be. Obviously, Orthodox Muslims don't believe that about themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. But in this afterlife, again, you will not live everlastingly. You'll live a normal span of years. And yeah, go ahead.
No, you could go on with that if you want to say anything more.
Oh, okay. Well, so built on that, of course, is a theology that Jesus is not resurrected. Jesus is dead. Stop looking for a Jesus that is alive, said Elijah Muhammad. He is dead. And so who has replaced him is the Savior, whom they honor every year, the Savior, Wallace Fard Muhammad, or Master Fard Muhammad. They honor on every February as Savior's Day. And again, once again, the whole black race can be considered Savior, but there is an individual Savior among them that still lives on the mothership, Wallace D. Fard. And getting to something you mentioned earlier, Chris, included in the original man or the original black race are brown, yellow, and purple or red. It's anything but the whites.
Purple? Who's purple?
Oh, I don't know. The purple people eater, I guess.
Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
But they're white, most of them.
Yeah. So they are included in the original man, and will it be included in the hereafter? But not the whites.
Huh. We have Lloyd in Council Bluffs, Iowa, who asks, are there occasions when the Nation of Islam has any joint events with other black supremacist groups like the Hebrew Israelites?
Yeah, I think in part you've already answered that. But Hebrew Israelites, I don't know. I don't know. But they will have joint sponsored events. They will appear in churches by so-called ministers of the gospel. And they will be joined with welcoming arms by other separatists, white separatist groups.
And Yeah, that, so they still have the events that include white separatist groups.
As far as I know, yeah, they will be talking with them, be peering with them. Sure.
Wow.
Because there's still an agenda here,
right?
To move the black people to segregate all blacks from whites.
Well,
and anybody who.
Go ahead.
Anybody who is in this separatist mindset, even if they're white, caters to the ideology of the Nation of Islam.
Lloyd, please give us your full name and mailing address in Council Bluffs, Iowa, so that CVBBS.com can ship to you a free copy of The Nation of Islam, Understanding the Black Muslims, by our guest, Stephen Tsoukalos. We're going to our final break right now. So if you do have a question that you would like to ask and you want to get in line with those who are already waiting to ask a question of Stephen Tsoukalos, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Too, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with
of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
To discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember, folks, Grace Covenant Baptist Church of Flemington, New Jersey, has a new website. Go to gcbc-nj.org, gcbc-nj.org. Also, folks, you have been hearing the ads for the Historical Bible Society every day in my show. Please don't forget that the Historical Bible Society was founded by Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, a very dear friend of mine. If you are the victim of a very serious accident or medical malpractice, no matter where you live in the United States, please call Dan Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And very important, as it is with all of our advertisers, when you're responding to them, please mention that you heard about that law firm from Chris Arnzen at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. We're now back with my guest, Stephen Tsoukalos, and we are continuing to discuss the Nation of Islam, understanding the black Muslims. And we have Hans in Beatrice, Nebraska. And Hans says, what can you tell us about Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam today? I understand that Louis Farrakhan was battling a serious illness, I believe cancer. Is he still alive? And is there anything different about the presence of the Nation of Islam in America today?
Well, yes, Farrakhan is battling an illness. But he's also said that, quote, well, I paraphrase, I hold to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There had been rumors that he had changed, that he became a Christian.
Really?
After his illness. Yeah. But we have to understand that he's going to hold to Elijah Muhammad's teaching. Otherwise, I think the Nation of Islam as a whole would oust him, because you can't deny Elijah Muhammad's teachings. He holds those teachings. So No, there is nothing new doctrinally from the Nation of Islam on Louis Farrakhan's part.
Now, one thing that is disturbing is I had heard that there was a documentary in honor of Louis Farrakhan, and there were some very well-known and very popular Grammy Award-winning musicians and singers and performers who were part of those, among those that were paying tribute to Farrakhan. It is amazing how, when you think about it, if a like, let's say, a all-white country band, if they were to be praising David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan or some other white supremacist, they'd likely lose their career forever. But yet these very famous musicians and singers and recording artists seem to have been unscathed by their public support of Louis Farrakhan. Do you have anything to say about that?
Well, the only thing I want to say is nothing surprises me nowadays. I've been around the block so many times that this is not surprising. And in a sense, I almost expect it from the world.
We have Jackie in Copeg, Long Island, New York. I was wondering why the hats worn by members of the Nation of Islam do not say N-O-I, but say F as in Frank O-I. What does that stand for?
Fruit of Islam, which is a protective order within the Nation of Islam.
Like the bodyguards.
The bodyguards to take care of the speakers, etc. Muhammad Ali was at one time had the hat that said F-O-I on it, Fruit of Islam. A protective order within NOI, bodyguards. Yeah.
Well, thank you. And please give us your full mailing address in Copeg, Long Island, because you've also won the Nation of Islam, Understanding the Black Muslims by my guest, Stephen Sukalis. That will be shipped to you by Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. I want to make sure that you include in our discussion before we run out of time things that I may have overlooked to ask you, things that you think are very important elements of your book.
Yes, thank you. Years ago, I was walking in the city, in New York City, in the midst of giving a series of lectures on cults, and I decided to take a walk in Manhattan, and I'm going to read from the preface of my book now. My eyes focused on a young black man selling books on a sidewalk. Curious as to what was on his table, I walked toward him. After looking over the books, I began to ask questions. As the young man sat in his chair, he turned away from me at a 45-degree angle and answered me with short, hurried words. Though he was willing to sell me books, it was obvious I made him uncomfortable. Being new to the city, I thought that perhaps this was the street corner dynamic of downtown. I thought no more of the encounter. 4 years later, a friend asked me to teach Christians about the Nation of Islam. I had never studied it, but I accepted the offer. In the months of preparation, I described to The Final Call, the movement's newspaper, and ordered several books from its Chicago headquarters. Then, just as the experience with Muhammad Ali had become clear, that's earlier in the preface, it also became clear why that young man on the Manhattan street corner treated me the way he did. In his eyes, I was a devil, as all whites are. I was a liar and a deceiver. I was inferior to him by nature. Now, evangelistically, I do want to share this with listeners. Evangelistically, if we have the time to study, that's a wonderful thing, to understand the culture of the Nation of Islam. In what soil was it birthed? To understand this soil and the doctrines it produced. I think back on that moment on the street corner or the street sidewalk. What if I had known at that time about the sacred story or myth of Yaakov and the grafting of the white race? What if I had known about the coming of Wallace D. Fard, or Fard Muhammad, to Detroit in 1930. And I explained what I knew about that. What if I had known of the Nation of Islam's denial of, let's say, the deity and resurrection of Jesus? I would have been, by the Lord's grace, a more effective witness. And again, many of us don't have the time to do that. So we can ask pertinent questions without having studied deeply or somewhat deeply the Nation of Islam. But we must remember that when we share with people in the Nation of Islam to understand, let them know that we understand where they're coming from and ask the pertinent questions, questions to answer their denials of the deity of Christ, the Trinity, Christ's resurrection, being born again only through Jesus Christ to the glory of the Father and the Spirit. We need to take the truth to the adherents of the Nation of Islam, no matter how they see us, and proclaim this truth of the unique self-revelation of the triune God as revealed in Jesus of Nazareth, who is both God and man as one person.
Amen. Well, we have time for one more question from a listener. Betty in Cooperstown, New York, the home of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Betty says, why do you think Louis Farrakhan publicly praises people like Barack Obama and other leaders that are the antithesis of his own beliefs, which would include an opposition to homosexuality, an opposition to make use of welfare programs that the Nation of Islam appears to have always been opposed to, viewing them as crippling the black community rather than helping them, and other things?
One word, politically.
Yep, political advantages that they think they're going to gain.
That's right.
Well, it has been great having you back on after such a long absence, Stephen. And I know that you have a Facebook page, and for our listeners to find that, our guest Stephen Tsoukalos' last name is T-S, as in Sam, O-U-K-A-L-A-S. Do you have any other website that you care to refer our listeners to?
Yes, sdmin.net. So that would be S as in Sam, D as in Doctor, M as in Michael, I, N as in Nicholas, sdmin.net. That's for my ministry, Sound Doctrine Ministries, sdmin.net. And there you can find a slew of articles there and navigate around, see what you can find on pseudo-Christian and non-Christian religions.
Well, thanks again, Stephen, and I want to thank our listeners, especially those who took the time to write. If you haven't given me your mailing address, if you've won a copy of The Nation of Islam, Understanding the Black Muslims, make sure you email your full name and mailing address to me so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship the book that you won out to you at no charge to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I want to again, thank my guest. I want to thank everybody who listened. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.